Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
How to the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus gave the key. All the world is hungry for the living bread, oh Lord. Lift up the Savior.
Lift him up so men can see the glory of God, and that Jesus is the way. Welcome to WGUM. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott with you today, delighted to say that very shortly you will hear the voice of the woman on divine assignment, Patricia Benavides. And before we bring her on, we will offer up a slight prayer. We'll listen to Turning Around from the Baboons by Marvin Winans. And then the party will get started. Amen, amen. Clap your hands, pat your feet, sing with joy. We know that God loves us, and Lord, let's offer up a prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we stand before you, before the throne, knowing that you are open to receiving us. We know that the windows of heaven are open right now, and those blessings are flowing upon us. And Lord, we ask that whatever barriers we have to receiving those blessings, to receiving the healing and the upliftment that you give us every single second, every single millisecond, we ask, Lord, now that those blessings and the bounties of those blessings be multiplied, shared, and distributed to the magnificent glory of your Son, Jesus. We ask, Lord, that this healing now open up every single atom, every single cell of our bodies. Lord, we ask that our brothers, our sisters, our daughters, our grandchildren, our friends, and even our unfriends, we ask, Lord, that you pepper them with the blessing and love, goodness and kindness, and mercy that we don't deserve, Lord, that we will accept it and we will receive it. These blessings, Lord, now we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And I think I misidentified the singer of the song. I wanted to play as a surprise for Pastor Benjamin, Marvin Winans' version of Turning Around for Me. But there are so many on the internet, on YouTube, I just wasn't able to identify the one that she has in mind. So perhaps we will have a listening session. So now let's hear Von Shawn Mitchell sing Turning Around for Me.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone.
The number you have dialed is not in service.
Some
please
of my
check the number and try your call again.
Let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me,
around for me, around for me,
turning around. I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of things.
God is.
Situation is turning around. is turning around for you and for me and for me and for you. It's turning around and around and around. We have a lot of feedback for some reason on this call today. But Lord, please get in the airwaves and turn it around for us. Thank you, Father. We thank the Lord for another day that he has brought us to, and he's going to bring us through. I heard a young preacher say, if God brought you to it, he will take you through it. So therefore, the song is turning it around for you. I don't know what you may need on today, but just look up and see that God is able to turn it around for you, whether it be turned around for your good, oh God, I love you, or whether it be turned around for his glory. But just turn it around, God. So the songwriter said, it won't always be like this. I really wish he could have pulled up Marvin Winans singing this song, because such an anointing. I enjoyed what he played, but Marvin had, for me, such an anointing in his voice that it just moved things. I think Marvin could sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. It would have a profound anointing. His voice is phenomenal. It's just a blessing to me. Now you could listen to him and not feel a thing, but I do. I'm moved by it, and I just thank God with all that's going on in the media that Jesus Christ is yet on the throne. And as children of God, we are here on the earth, but once you have given your life to Christ, you're no longer bound by the laws of this land, because your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Yes, we are here on the earth, and yes, we do have to obey the speed limit. Ask me, I know, because it cost me quite a bit for speeding, but through it all, God saw me through it, and I thank God. And it has taught me a lesson that it cost me financially, that I should just slow it down just a tad, just not much, but just a little bit in certain areas, so that I'm not 25 miles over the requested speed limit. So I have to keep it within 15 to 20. But I know not to be 25 or 30 over, and it cost me financially. It even cost me my driving privileges for 2 months. And you know, the enemy don't like me anyway, because of whom I am and whom I represent. I represent the Christ. And Jesus said that he was going to bruise him up real bad. He was going to kick the devil where it hurts. And he don't like Jesus, and he sure don't like me, because I talk about Jesus, I walk about Jesus, I go where the Father send me. So therefore, any way the enemy can come against me, he will. And the enemy was telling me, which is the devil, he was saying, just drive the car. You're not going to get pulled over. Just drive the car. And I had to tell him, like Jesus said, get thee hence. Get behind me. Say, now I know that was breaking the law, because they suspended my driving privileges for 2 months. So my nephew/son had to take me back and forth, and he said, I will be glad when you get your license back, because I'm just tired of taking you here, there, and there. I said, funny you should say that, because I never felt that way when you was a baby. It was a joy
giving you your bath and fixing your food and washing your clothes and changing you sometimes 2 to 3 times a day because you were messed up. I never felt that way about you. Nice to know how you appreciate what I did for you. And then we laughed about it. And that never came out of his mouth again. Thank God for Jesus. But however, the devil don't like any of us. And he will try to get us in trouble if he can. He will try to take your life from you. But it's not possible when God is in control. The devil would have all of us be dead, but because Jesus lived, the old saints of old, when I was growing up, he said, he's a wonder in my soul. Jesus is a wonder in my soul. Bless his name. I talked with a woman this morning early, and she wanted me to pray God would give her favor, and God began to speak and said, never mind favor, pray my will be done, my kingdom come, and my will be done. He said, I've already written what you're asking for. I told you the thoughts that I have toward you are of good and not of evil. So why would you be praying, Lord, I need favor, I need favor? I've already told you what my thoughts are toward you. You just need to start telling me thank you. You need to rearrange your words. When you come to me, rearrange your words. Come to me thanking me that it's already done. Don't come looking for favor. I've already released that in my word when I told you, in all your ways acknowledge me and I'll direct your path. Come to me believing. Come to me knowing that if you ask me for a fish, I will not give you a snake or a serpent. And if you ask me for bread, I will not give you a stone. Come to me with my word. And she said, thank you, Jesus. I said, yes, thank him. Sometimes we have to put people in their place because they're speaking the wrong words. They're speaking doom and gloom. They're speaking what someone else spoke. And they just jump on it, and every time you turn around, pray that I get favor. Lord, I need favor. Lord, I need favor. No. Lord, I thank you that you've gone before me and made the crooked places straight. Thank you, God, for granting me this petition I have before you. Thank you. Start thanking God for some things. Leave favor alone. Yes, he had favor with Mary. She was highly favored among women that she should carry the Christ child. Yes, Mary was favored. But I got to give him thanks. For everything, give God thanks. In the good times, in the bad, even if they throw you in the fiery furnace, give God thanks. Oh, the Hebrew boys were in that fiery furnace. They wasn't saying, well, God, I need favor. They said, listen, even if we perish in this fire, our God is able. They blessed God. I don't know if they had heard David say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Yes, the scripture said, ask and it shall be given. Yes, it does. In Matthew's gospel, it tells us to ask and it shall be given. But it also tells us we're asking and not receiving because we're asking amiss. You're asking for favor. Tell God what it is that you need. Lord, I need you to straighten this out for me. And if that is favor, oh well. But you've got to change your words when you're going before the throne of God. If you're his child, now I can see if you're not a child of God, if you have not hid your life, that's what I mean by that. All of us are children of God because we are his creation. But if your life is not hidden in Christ, where you died to your flesh and was crucified and you was baptized, and when you go down being baptized, baptized in the water. Your life is being hidden with Christ because Jesus went down and he came up again. And that's what happens when they baptize you. They take you down and bring you back up. The saints of old used to say, he's a mighty God. I feel Jesus. Yes, I do. The saints of old said, he's a mighty God. The saints of old said, honey, I got a blessing from the Lord on today. He's a mighty God. Some of them used to take it a little bit farther and say, he's a mighty good God. And then my friend James Davis, who passed away this year in January, he said he's worthy. And he would say, so worthy to be praised. Ah, I tell you, I feel Jesus in this place. And you know, I've explained to you several times when I say I feel Jesus in this place, I'm talking about in me, in my body, not in the room that I'm speaking to you from, but on the inside of me gets stirred up with the word of God. I told the young lady this morning, I said, listen, I'm not going to believe with you because that may not be God's will the way you believe it. But I'll tell you this, I can believe for you because if I believe with you, it may be out of line with God. Listen, this is a revelation that God gave me this morning. Believing with someone in prayer may not be the will of God. So therefore, if they're out of line and you're believing with them, you're out of line too, preacher. Mm-hmm. But we are to line our lives up with the will of God. And so I said to her, I will pray, believing God for you, but not with you, because God's will is different from ours. I'm praying for her situation that the will of God be done. I'm yielding my way to God's way. When we give God the authority to work on our behalf, then we have to die. Get out of his way. It's not our agenda. It's whatever God wants for us. And so shall it be. I could end right there. I could close out right there. But you know, as I always say, I have a song. Sometimes Dr. Scott pray, and thank God for the last 2 weeks he's been praying without me asking. Sometimes I'm led to pray, but we always have a song, and we always have a read scripture word. I speak a lot of scriptures in your hearing, but I also like to read from the Bible before I close, because people can get offended easily. Well, she said all that stuff, but she didn't read the Bible. So, for your sake, I will read the scripture. This is Lent season, saints. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was preparing to die just for you and I, so that this day would be that we'd be able to sit and talk about him and break bread together and bless his holy name. And my motto is, for this Lenten season, God gave it to me that we're mindful of the cross, but we worship the Christ, my God, today. Mindful of the cross, but worship the Christ. Because it was at the cross someone made a song. Said, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart, they rolled away. It was there by save I received my sight, and now I am happy all the days. I believe the song starts, that was the chorus, I believe it starts with that last, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote such a sacred head for such a worm as I? It was at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the only way to see the light is through the cross. As Jesus said, I am the light. No one else is the light but Jesus. Now, because we are offspring and because we have been adopted by the Christ, we have a light in us, but Jesus is the light. And Jesus gives us light. If you have a light, as they sang, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If you have a light, it came from Jesus. It's not your own. He is the giver of life and light. For Matthew's gospel declared that we are a city. When your life is hidden with Christ, we are a city that sitteth upon a hill that cannot be hidden. If you're driving in your car and you live in the country, and as you are approaching the area of the city, it is well lit. In the country, there may be a light, and there may not be. Where I live, we have some street lights, but nothing like in the city. So that's how some can tell the difference, because of all the lights. If you're driving on the parkway or the thruway, the expressway or whatever, it's well lighted. But as you approach the suburban or country or whatever of that state, you'll notice all of a sudden you're running out of the light into darkness. You know, that's not a good thing to do. Don't run out of the light and go into a dark place. There's a great adjustment that takes place. Stay in the light. Walk in the light. Jesus is the light. Be that light shining here on earth that men may worship your Father which is in heaven. Glorify God because of the light that Jesus has given you. Once you have hid your life with him, you carry and possess this light that men ought to be able to see without you wearing a shirt saying that I belong to Jesus. They ought to be able to see the glow on your face. They ought to be sitting in a corner doing their books and can hear you speaking and tell by the tone of your voice and the way that you present yourself that that person is different. I wonder what's different about them. I possess the light. Jesus is the light of the world. He's ever shining in my soul. So this is, again, Lent season. We've had Ash Wednesday, and some knock it, some do knock it. But one thing I was reading in Mark's gospel, where the disciples were a little disturbed. They was perturbed, in fact, over the fact that they saw somebody casting out devils in Jesus' name. And they didn't like that, and they went to Jesus and said, look, how is it that they're doing this? They don't follow us, and they shouldn't be doing that. Jesus said, listen, he who is for me certainly is not against me. A person that is for me is not going to go around speaking evil of me because they're for me. That had to hush the disciples' mouth down. But they really had a quick attitude. Who the heck do he think he is? Who do she think she is up there praying in Jesus' name, casting out demons in Jesus' name? They got a nerve. That's how we talk, you know. They got a nerve to even do such a thing. I'm going to tell Jesus. I'm glad they did, because Jesus set them free. He set them straight. He said, uh-uh, don't knock that. They're not against me. They're not against me. So you hush down your mouth. I love the Lord. He puts us in our place nicely. There wasn't any more to be said because he finished it. All right, let's go to the Word of God, the red Word of God, because I've spoken much word already. Grateful for Dr. Gregory Scott, Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott. I call him Dr. Scott so much I barely get to say Bishop Dr. Scott. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Mark's Gospel. The Lord has me reading Mark's Gospel. And I'm grateful because I feel a sharpening and a quickening in my spirit that seemed was laying dormant, but God is arousing and awakening what's on the inside of me. I feel like I could start today preaching and don't stop. Just preach today, tomorrow, today, tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. And don't, but that's the spirit man. My flesh can't handle it. I tell you, you know, it's a time that we're living in. It's a time that we're living in. Jesus never fails at knowing that if he's turning it around for you, heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus, remember that, never fails. Mark's Gospel, as I was reading on yesterday morning, when I made a note in my Bible here, but I fastened my eyes on Mark the 8th chapter, and the 27th verse, Mark 8, St. Mark, if that's how you want to say it, but Mark 8, beginning with verse 27, remember, this is Lenten season, and Jesus is preparing to die. And you know what? That's what we are supposed to be doing as well. Preparing on a daily basis to get out of here. This world is not our home. But we want to stay here and see our grandkids and our great-grands and the great-great-grands. And we want to stay here and suffer every ache and every pain that the devil has for us. We want to stay here till we're blind, crippled, and crazy. We still want to stay right here, though. Oh, I ain't going nowhere. The man said, I ain't going nowhere. Can't see, can't hear, can hardly walk for falling down. But, I ain't going nowhere. You're on oxygen. You're on Coumadin. You're on arthritis medicine. So you can even brush your teeth. Your joints are so bad, but I'm going to stay right here and suffer all of this just to be on planet Earth when all of the diseases that our bodies encounter here on planet Earth, don't you know they stay here when we die? You die of cancer, cancer stayed here. Because if cancer died when you died, no one else would be afflicted with it. Arthritis, if it died when you died, no one else could get it. Blindness, if it died when you died, no one else would be blind. None of these things go to heaven There is no sickness in heaven. There is no aches and pains in heaven. Why don't we want to leave this earth and go home and live large? I'm going to blow your mind. Guess what? Something else is not in heaven, too. You want to know what it is? Say yes, yes. Somebody said yes. I think it was me. Ah, there's no rent due in heaven. My God, today. If you live right, heaven belongs to you. Oh, taste and see. David said it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Ooh, I'm going to leave that alone because it's a bubbling in my soul. All right, Mark's Gospel, the 8th chapter. Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the town of Caesarea Philippi. And on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" So they answered, "John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." Jesus is answering the men that's closest to him on earth, his disciples. They are with him daily. And he's asking a question, "Who do men say that I am? I have wrought some miracles on this earth. What are they saying about me? What are they thinking about me? Who do they call me? Do they really recognize who I am? What are they saying about me, disciples? You hear what they say. You're in the cities. You're in the villages. You hear what they're saying about me." Jesus asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" So they told him. Some of them say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. And some say you're a prophet. So that's good. Now, Jesus said to them, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" You know, it's a shame to be, I call myself a preacher called by God, and I don't know who he is. Now, that's pitiful. How are you going to call yourself a Christian, a child of God, and don't know who he is? You're just walking the walk, talking the talk that is of none effect because you have no clue who Jesus really is. And you say you're with him all the time. My God, today. Jesus asked the disciples, okay, now the question was, what do they say? Now I want to know from you, what are you calling me? Who am I to you? Look, Gladys Knight made a song back in the day, and she started this song that said that girl that passed just tried to stare me down, and when I looked at you, you looked at the ground. Now, Gladys admits, she said, "I don't know who she is, but I think that you do." Because of the connection, the way that the woman stared him down, because what, I guess she was looking at him to say, what in the ham fat are you doing with her when you're my man? And she's looking at him in such a way till he put his head down in guilt, you see. Gladys was watching everything that was going on. She said, "Now, that girl, whoever she is, she just stared you down. Now, I don't know who she is, but I think that you do." She went on to say to the guy, tell me, who is she? And what is she to you? My God, today, God is asking a question. Who am I? And what am I to you? I'm getting ready to lay my life down for you. Who am I and what? Never mind what they say. What are you saying? Who am I? And what am I to you? Some while ago when I was reading this, I titled this passage of scripture that I'm reading, and I guess I began to break it down in my mind as I was reading it, and Dr. Scott, I had written on the top of the page there of this eighth chapter of St. Mark, I had written, and I titled this, didn't know when I would get a chance to talk about it, but I titled it, This Jesus. My God, today, woo, This Jesus. That's what I came up with after reading it. This Jesus. Who is he? What is he to you? Who am I? Disciples. We're disciples of Christ. We're carrying his word. We're holding up the blood-stained banner. Who is he and what is he? Who are you talking about? I'm talking about this Jesus. Oh, bless his name. Oh, I feel good. Let's read the book. Don't have long now. Every time I say I'm going to be done in 15 minutes, I can't. Every time I say, well, I'll go till 10:30, I can't. I just happened to fasten my eyes upon the clock, and it says it's 10:41. So I went past 10:15 and 10:30, and now I'm on 10:42. Oh, bless his name. My. He said to them, verse 29, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ, my God, today. You mean someone was following him, walking with him, working with him, getting in the boat with him, and they were able to identify him as the Christ. Peter was bad. Peter knew who he had in his presence. Peter knew Jesus to be the Christ. Oh, Lord, let's read the book. Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. And then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. So he spoke this word openly, took him aside and began to rebuke him as if Jesus didn't know what he was talking about, or as if Jesus had no right to be saying such a thing like that. So now Peter is going to rebuke the Christ. We do it. Yes, we do. We do the same thing that Peter does or did. We get up there and we tell God, you shouldn't have did this. God, you shouldn't have let that happen. Why did this happen this way? Why did that happen? You call yourself rebuking the Christ. Why haven't you answered my prayer? What is taking you so long? Where are you, God? Oh, my God. See, Peter recognized that he was the Christ, but he lost it when he began to rebuke the Christ. Peter began, he took him aside, though, and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adultery and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God say amen. We invite you back for next week. If I'm not able to be live, we will run a tape. But just hang in there with us, because we're on our way somewhere. Because we know who the Christ is. Jesus is the Christ. Amen. Thank you, God.
Amen, amen, amen. And a woman. Pastor Benjamin, you've lit up the sky. You lit up the world with your wonderful message. Thank you so much again. What I'd like to do, I'm for some reason, oh, here we go. Looks like we might be able to end on the theme of turning around. I said we might be able to. I don't know why Blog Talk is misbehaving. Well, Pastor, thank you so much. And we will keep it moving, as you say, despite the technical difficulties. At least the song, at least Blog Talk, let us start off with that music. But for some reason now, it is misbehaving. So let's see if we can get, well, we'll just have to end the program right now because Blog Talk is not allowing me to access my audio clips. Here we go.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed.
Yes, Pastor Benjamin brought us a powerful message of Jesus, his disciples, and Jesus had to tell Peter, "Focus on me, the Son of God. Do not be distracted by worldly activities. Know that I am the way, the truth, and the light. You may not get to God except through me." Amen. So Peter got turned around. Let's turn around and just keep saying to God, "God, thy will be done. Thy will be done. I surrender all to you." Amen.
Around for me. Around for me. Around for me.
see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is. If I stay strong,
if I stand strong and believe,
there's no reason to doubt.
I
know He's working.
I know He's working in us,
and it's turning around.
Turning around me.
This is the good news. It won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning me, and sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Sooner or later,
turn in my favor.
Around for me,
it's turning around.